you like my jumper, by the way, is to remind me it's sort of Christmas and that I do like blue because it brings up my eyes, which is fantastic. There we go. Merry Christmas, everybody. Glad to see you all here this morning. Hope you've had a great festive period. Myself and Helen are doing the service this morning after a little bit of angst last night, which we might go into later on. But we're going to welcome this morning. I'm going to stand and sing our first song, but Helen's going to open with a passage.
Before we sing the song, I want you to read some words from the start of John's Gospel that remind us why we should be celebrating Christmas. It says this: He, Jesus, came into the very world he created, but the world didn't recognize him. He came to his own people, and even they rejected him. But to all who believed him and accepted him, he gave the right to become children of God. They are reborn, not with a physical birth resulting from human passion or plan, but a birth that comes from God. So the Word became human and made his home among us. He was full of unfailing love and faithfulness, and we have seen his glory, the glory of the Father's one and only Son. John testified about him when he shouted to the crowds, "This is the one I was talking about when I said, 'Someone is coming after me who is far greater than I am, for he existed long before me.' From his abundance, we have all received one gracious blessing after another. For the law was given through Moses, but God's unfailing love and faithfulness came through Jesus Christ." So we're celebrating this Christmas because of Christmas, because Jesus came, we have the right to become children of God. And we are receiving one gracious blessing after another, and we are experiencing God's unfailing love and God's faithfulness. It's amazing. And I think in all the excitement of Christmas, we need to remember just what it is that we have been given, that Jesus came for us. So we're going to sing our first song, which is a Christmas song. But my uncle taught me that you shouldn't really start singing Christmas songs until Christmas Day anyway. So no apologies for some carols being in the mix this morning. We're going to start by singing It's Christmas.
To the world. mountain that Jesus Christ is born. Go tell it on the mountain, over the hills and everywhere. Go tell it on the mountain that Jesus Christ is born. It's Christmas, the angels are singing, and I know the reason, the Savior is born. It's Christmas, the bells are ringing, and I feel like shouting, joy to the world, joy to the world.
Oh, right, okay, yeah, sorry. Mark's giving me small symbols at the back, I'm trying to understand. If we could all squeeze up a little bit, so if there's any kind of spaces in the middle of the pews, if we could move up a little bit and make some space for people coming in, that'd be great. That's what that means, by the way, just in case you were wondering what that meant at the back. We've got a couple of things we're starting off the new year with. So hopefully a couple of weeks back, if you were in church, you would have got a card like this, which is a prayer card. So as of the 4th of January, which seems, I don't know if you lose track of time like I do at Christmas, it seems a mile away, but it's only next Sunday, so it is very close to, in time. But we're starting our prayer week next Sunday evening at church. And all during the week, there'll be different activities that you can come to, depending on your schedule and what you've got available. So it starts next Sunday evening at 6:30 at church here. There are a couple of events where we do need people to sign up in advance and just let us know you're coming. So one of those is the Monday morning, which is the 5th of January. So that's for cereal and croissants and breakfast at 7:30 here in church or back hall there. So you do need to sign up for that. And the other one is the prayer, praise and pizza evening, again here at 7:30 on Friday the 9th. So if you haven't got one of those cards, do get one of those cards and do book up for the prayer evening. We're going to be looking at, the focus really be about the spiritual life of the church and how we can encourage each other to walk closer with God as we do that. Rosemary has asked me to remind you that if you haven't had one of these already, there's one of these magazines in the foyer at the front. This is really for our members here to kind of look at about the persecuted church and their voice and just declaring what's happening to our brothers and sisters overseas. So if you haven't got that already, do pick that up. Couple more other things. So next Sunday morning, we've got a baptism service here. Isn't that exciting? Yes. So two of our younger, I would say members, I don't think I'm members, two of our younger people at church, Joel and Ewan, are getting baptised next Sunday morning. That usually means this place is packed. So if you want a seat, I would suggest you come early. Those probably rows over there will probably be highlighted for family members and friends. But do come along, support them in that kind of declaration of faith that they're going to have, and support them in that. And the only other thing I've got to say this morning is that if you're in year 7 and 8, you have got an option. So you can either go out with Mike and the Sunday Club people, or you can stay and listen to the sermon. So the choice is yours. If you're above year 7 and 8, you're staying in. It's nothing for you. But if you're with 7 and 8, you can go and support Mike and help Mike, not just eat all the goodies that he's going to have for the kids. So go out with Mike on that side there. No goodies. Oh, well, sorry to disappoint everybody there. Sorry? Yeah, I'll pick up. I'm going to ask Cameron to come up forward and to lead us in a time of prayer.
Yeah, Lord, I just we give you this time now. We come to you in prayer, knowing that you are a God who has the power to bring about change. First of all, Lord, I want to praise you and thank you that the story of Christmas is that you came down from heaven to earth to live a life of suffering for us, and that your motivation in that was love for us, and you were desperate, Lord, to have a relationship with us. So thank you so much for that, King Jesus. Just pray for your Holy Spirit in this room, and I pray in this time of the year as we look ahead to what 2026 might hold for this church, for this town, for this country, for the world, Lord, we just ask that you would be present in all of it. I pray that in that week of prayer coming up, Lord, we're really able to to connect with you and feel what you're saying to us, and you're preparing us for your plans this next year, that we're ready for what you do. We're ready to put aside our own thoughts and plans and let you take the lead there, King Jesus. I also pray for Ewan and for Joel next week, that in the build up to their baptism now, that your presence will be so close to them that they'll know you, Lord. And that next Sunday will be such a celebration of all that you've done in their life. And that we as a church can celebrate with them in that incredible decision to live for you and to live their life for you. Yeah, lift up the world to you, King Jesus, particularly the places where they can't meet like we are now, and lift your name on high and worship you. I lift up anyone in that situation that there'd be change there, King Jesus, that despite the struggles they may have, that you would be as close to them as you are here. And I thank you, that's the truth of it, Lord, that no matter what government's put in place and what persecution is in place, that your Holy Spirit is more powerful than all of that, and that you're working through all of it. And yeah, I pray for the rest of this service, King Jesus, that we can really honour you, learn more about you, and be encouraged to live our life better for you. I give you all of these prayers in the name of you, King Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Thank you very much. You're doing this part.
Right, we're going to play a bit of a game. Oh, got an echo. Which is loosely based on the game of Hangman. And the idea is, look, Gareth's message later has got a key verse to it, and we're going to try and guess what that verse is. The way it's going to work is, I need a pen, firstly, and I need Caitlin, my glamorous assistant, to come and do the chocolates. Thank you very much. So, I'm going to put you into two teams. So we're going to split you roughly down the middle, your team A and your team B. And you're going to take it in turns to pick a letter. For every time that letter appears in the memory verse, you'll get a point, and your half of the church will also get a chocolate for each time. So if you've got, say, five E's, you'll get 5 points, and you'll get five chocolates will be sent out to your half of the church. If you are a genius and you get this verse really quickly, don't shout out what it is, but think strategically about which letter you're going to pick to get your team the maximum points and the maximum chocolates. I hope that all is clear as mud to everybody what we're doing. So, let's have a look. We'll start with team A, which was this one. Who wants to pick a letter? Yes. Shout it out loud.
E.
E. Now, I've written the answers down because I'm bound to forget one. All right, Caitlin, there are seven E's.
Wrong side, Caitlin.
Is that five? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6.
Six. You got six,
though. I have seven. Oh, no.
Not one in here.
No, there's not one in there. I'll find it later.
You sure?
Yeah, I'm sure. Right, okay. Can you see it? Can you read it from there? Genius. Yes. You. Yes, there is a U. And it goes here.
Is there not one there?
No, darling, there's not one there.
Okay.
Can we use all that?
All right, okay.
Just one U. Over to Venice.
Give it to Whitburn.
Shout out your letter. N for November. A.
Ashley.
A for Ashley. There are eight A's for Ashley.
You're losing big time over here, by the way.
This is a bad decision to do spelling under stress.
Right,
team B, you need to do a comeback at the back. Yes, yes, yes. I.
How many?
There are 5 eyes.
That's better. Well done.
Oh, yeah, it's on there. Yes. 5 eyes.
Or the back.
Chuck 'em, Caitlin. Chuck 'em. That's as far as you can throw. Right to the back. Oh, take somebody out. Okay, well, she's causing chaos. Yes, Andrea. M for mother. There are 5 M's. I think that's all of them.
I know the verse.
Right, over to this side. Yes. D. There are 2 D's. Let's just wait till she catches up. You can't pick them. You just have to chuck them at random. I haven't got time for picking this favourite chocolate.
Yeah. I'm. What's there?
He's back here. He needs...
Have they done this one, Helen?
Right, I'm waiting for the chocolate giver to catch up. 2 for this side, yeah?
Is that not an M, Helen?
Where?
That second word.
That?
Second word.
Oh, yeah, that's one, yeah. Did you say D?
D? How many?
2.
2 Ds.
Yes. Right, okay. Over to this side. It's getting harder now, isn't it? Which ones are going to get you the most chocolate? Anybody got an... Yes, at the back. H. H. Yes, there are 8 H's. Wow.
It's a bit one-sided. No.
Right, okay, now there's an obvious letter, I think, to go for here.
This side.
This side, yes, Adele. T, yes, there are 10 T's.
Hey.
Well done. That one. Okay. We've done the 10. Just chuck them.
Well, she takes people's heads.
She getting your steps in. Right, okay. We'll go to this side. Who wants... You've done that side. This side again,
yeah.
Who are we going to pick this time? Yes. L for love. Yeah. There are 2 L's.
Oh, okay, that's how you've done that one. Okay.
Yeah?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, you know what you're doing?
I know, well.
Does she want to help her? Right.
It's this side, Helen.
This side,
yeah.
Okay. Have you had a go already? Have you had a go already?
Yes.
Okay, have you had a go already?
Yes.
Yeah. Who has anyone not had a yes? C for Charlie, or for cake. Yeah, there are. There's 1 C, there's only 1 C.
Oh, unlucky.
Okay, Dave. Why? Because I asked you. Hey! There are 3 Y's.
What?
3 wise men. Yes, Emily.
Helen.
What?
I missed an E there.
Okay. L. N for November.
Oh, you missed an E there.
Yeah, I have. That's the
no.
N, yeah. There are 3 N's on that thing. Right?
Possibly. Yes.
Right, not many left.
There's a T
there.
There's another T there. She can't spell. Right, do you want to see if anyone gets
it? Okay, have they all had equal goes? Yeah, you've won equal ones to 10. Sit down. Hands up if you think you know it. Okay, we will say it all together then. I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. And that is why Jesus came. He came that we might have life and have it more abundantly. For those who come to Breakfast Club, I think it was this year, earlier in the year, we talked about this verse and we talked about how with Jesus, it's a bit like leveling up our life. You might have a sort of normal going along routine life, but in a video game, you can level up and take it to another level. And with Jesus, our life goes to that other level. We have it more abundantly. Think about what our life would be without knowing the Lord. We wouldn't have his presence with us, his peace, his joy, knowing we're loved, knowing we're secure, knowing our future is with him. We have that abundant life, and that's worth celebrating, and that's how we celebrate at Christmas. So we're going to have a time of song, praise and worship, remembering what it is that we've got. We've got this life abundantly. We know Jesus. We have his presence. We have that life to abundance. So we're going to sing some songs together now.
Yeah.
So if you're able to, please stand to sing. Mm.
Thank you. You've done for me.
Praise his name. Heavenly Father, you are great. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for your love for us, your mercy to us. And we just praise you here this morning, Heavenly Father. We worship and adore you. We lay our lives before you, Heavenly Father. Amen. Please take your seats. I'm going to invite Ewan to come and read our passage this morning.
Today's verse comes from John's Gospel. We're in chapter 10, verse 1 to 10. Very truly, I tell you, Pharisees, anyone who does not enter the sheep pen by the gate, but climbs in by some other way, is a thief and a robber. The one who enters by the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes on ahead of them, and his sheep follow him because they know his voice. But they will never follow a stranger. In fact, they will run away from him because they do not recognize a stranger's voice. Jesus used this figure of speech, but the Pharisees did not understand what he was telling them. Therefore, Jesus said again, "Very truly I tell you, I am the gate for the sheep. All who have come before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep have not listened to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. They will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full."
Excellent. Thank you, Ewan. And if you're in Sunday Club, please follow Mike out to the back. Thank you. Let's pray for the kids going out in this morning service. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you have bless this church abundantly with so many young people and children. Help us, Heavenly Father, to teach them your ways. Bless their time at the back and Mike as he leads them. And Lord, we just ask for your guidance and your wisdom this morning as I Speak your word, Heavenly Father. Help me to not hear my voice, but to hear yours as we come to understand your word and how that impacts our lives, Heavenly Father. We just ask this in your name. Amen. So I'm going to have a bit of a caveat to what's going on this morning. So I got home last night to quickly type up an order service. We knew what we were doing for this morning service, but to quickly type up the order service and to print off my sermon notes, only to discover my laptop went into a frenzy and wanted me to enter my BitLocker number, which obviously I didn't have. I emailed my CTO. He said, yeah, that's fine. I'll get it to you for Monday morning. So Helen quickly knocked up an order service, and then I had to, from memory, rewrite my notes in my little notebook here. So this might not be quite how I prepared it during the week, but it's very close. As many of you know, I like a good board game, and I go to a board game group on a Tuesday down at King's Reach Pub. And the other week we were playing a game, quite often I've never played these games before because they're brand new to me. We're playing a game called Old King's Crown, which I'm guessing no one has ever heard of because it was brand new to me. Thankfully, we had someone who was going to guide us through the game and tell us how to play the game, which was great, and I was really quite enjoying the game. It was a good game to play. You had four different factions, and you had to build up your faction, have little battles, get some credits, build up your troops during the four seasons of the year, and to win the game. And I was quite enjoying the game. It was good fun building that up. But as I was playing the game, I realised I didn't know what the purpose of the game was, what you're trying to achieve at the end. I knew you wanted to become the king, but I didn't know how you became the king. And I kind of, oh, right, okay, I need to work out what I'm doing here. As it happened, in the end, what you needed to do was to build up your influence and power to become the most powerful ruler and become that king. But I didn't realise that until about partway through. I thought, actually, I'm not sure how I win this game. What's the purpose and what I'm trying to do? How do I measure whether I've played this game well? I was having fun, but whether I was doing that today, whether I was doing that game successfully. We'll come on to that little theme in a second. But as I was preparing for the service, I was thinking, well, come on, Jesus born in Christmas. That's why we celebrate the time of year there. And he came to save us from our sins. But actually, what did Jesus say the reason that he came for? Because at that point, he hadn't died on the cross, but he was telling his disciples and the followers. So what were Jesus' actual words? What did he say was the reason that he gave up being in heaven, sat next to God on the throne, and come down to earth and take on physical form? And he gave us a few different but interlocking responses about why he came to earth. The first was so that we may know the Father through him. And we see that in John 14. He came to save the lost, which I've already mentioned. He came to die on the cross and save us. And to serve others and to be a ransom for others, as described in Mark 10. But the passage that Ewan read gives us a little clue there to say he came to give us life, but also to have it fully. And I like some of the other translations where they said that they may have life and have it abundantly or abundantly more. I think that's an interesting phrase. Do I think that I've got life and have it abundantly more? What does that mean? How does that actually impact what's going on? Well, there's a growing focus, I suppose, by a lot of people to say, actually, what is the purpose of my life? What am I doing with my life? We see that there's kind of the quiet revival that people have talked about people coming to church to find what is the purpose of what I'm doing? Why am I here? Is there more to life than having kids, working, gaining nice things? When I was growing up, I had this phrase of keeping up with the Joneses. I suppose it kind of makes sure that you're equivalent with other people. I know we've got our own set of Joneses in the church. But actually, are we keeping up with other people? That was the kind of drive of life back when I was a kid growing up. But more and more people are saying, well, actually, is there more to my existence than that? Just having nice things, a better car, a nicer holiday, whatever that happens to be. Am I happy in my work? Whatever. Is there more to it than just that physical bit there? In John 10:10, Jesus said he came to give life and have it more abundantly. Is that having abundant life? What does that mean? How can we have it more abundantly? ChatGPT is a great tool, I find, and it kind of guides me in a lot of things. And it pointed out to me that there's actually, in the New Testament, there's at least two, if not three, different words that are used in the Greek for life. The first one it used was bios, which I think is how it's pronounced, which is our physical, biological life that we have here. the kind of things that we have, our physical presence, who we are as individuals on this planet. The second word, which is Zoe, is more about the spiritual life that we have, the eternal life we have, the life that as God intended it to be. Most occurrences of the word life in the New Testament that we find, particularly in the Gospels, refers to that second element of Zoe. It isn't just the physical life, but it's the spiritual life, the eternal life, life as it should be. And that's what Jesus is talking about here in this passage. Do we have life as it should be? Do we have it abundantly? Now, what Jesus is saying here is not that actually we will have the shiniest new car or the best new job or the fantastic career, 2.4 kids and all the kind of success that the world measures by. So what is he talking about having life abundantly? Maybe we need to refocus and understand from Jesus' perspective, from God's perspective, what life should be like, what we need to be doing. So we're going to jump around a little bit from a few passages. We're going to look at Isaiah, which I've just lost in my Bible. There we go. Isaiah 43, verses 3 to 7. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Saviour. I gave Egypt for your ransom, Cush and Seba for your stead, since you are precious and honoured in my sight. We'll come on to some of the last passage in a second, but do you feel precious this morning? I had actually prepared a nice little slide up with Gollum, with one of his rings from Gold of the Lord of the Rings, above my precious, as they said if you've seen the films. You are precious in God's sight. Do you feel precious this morning? Do you feel honoured this morning? That God loves you, he knows you abundantly. Now that might be quite scary for some. He knows your desires, your dreams, your fears, your worries, your angst. He also knows your sins. He knows what you've said, who you've said it to, what you've done, what you think. But despite all that, God loves you. And he values you. You are precious in his sight. But as we go on to read a little bit more in Isaiah. Since you are precious and honoured in my sight, and because I love you, I will give men in exchange for you, and people in exchange for your life. Do not be afraid, for I am with you. I will bring your children from the east. I will gather you from the west. I will say to the north, give them up, and to the south, do not hold them. Bring my sons from afar and my daughters from the end of the earth. Everyone who is called by my name, whom I created for my glory, whom I formed and made. You are made to glorify God, to reflect his perfectness, his glory and his honour, to praise and lift up God. Sometimes that's very easy to do, isn't it? We think of the ways that God has blessed us. I think, oh, thank you, God, for that. I want to praise you this morning for doing that. Thank you, God. But is that the only time we praise God? When things are good in our lives? When we can see and from tangible touch the blessings that God has given us? But what happens if I've lost my job? My family member is ill or sick or dying? What if? And you've got your own blanks you might want to fill in there about, well, how do I praise God in these circumstances? How do I go about doing that? Again, one of the passages I wanted to look at this morning looks at that. There we go. Again, it's a very familiar passage about what it means to praise God in those challenging circumstances. This is from Habakkuk 3. I heard my heart pound, my lips quivered at the sound, decay crept into my bones and my legs trembled. Yet I waited patiently for the day of calamity to come on the nation invading us. Though the fig tree does not bud, though there are no grapes in the vines, though the olive tree crop fails and the fields produce no food, there are no sheep in the pens and no cattle in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will be joyful in God my Saviour. What we're looking at there is a really hard year, an almost impossible year, probably where there's death and famine because there's nothing. Everything's been decimated, yet I will praise my sovereign God. I don't know if you ever watched the Clarkson series, My Farm, Clarkson's Farm. In the first couple of seasons, because he's an idiot, let's face facts. He does so many things wrong that causes his farm to fail. But some of it is really hard. The weather just failed, and the harvest fails. What we're seeing here is desolation, but yet Habakkuk the prophet still chooses to praise God. Queen Elizabeth talked about in one of her Christmas speeches about her Annus Horribilis and the horrible year that he had, that she had. This is what they've experienced here. Yet he chooses to praise God and lift him up. Tim Keller, when he's talking about this passage, refers to a missionary by the name of Alan Gardner, who was in 1861, I think it was. He was shipwrecked off a South American small island. All his crew were kind of shipwrecked on the small island, and there wasn't any provisions. There was a bit of food, but not enough to sustain them there. And one by one, people died off because of starvation. And Alan Gardner eventually died, but by his body, people found a journal that he'd written up. And in that journal, he'd written a commentary on Psalm 34, verse 10. The lion may grow weak and hungry, but those who seek the Lord lack no good thing. In his dying breath, so to speak, he'd written that in this island, where he had nothing, there was no food, he could see and still honour God. He could see the magnificence of God in his life. Not because he had everything, because he had nothing, but because God was worthy. When we praise God, is it because he's given us good things and we feel his blessing on our life? Or do we praise God because he is worthy and honourable? And that's a focus change about actually lifting people up, lifting God up to praise his name. So that's the first thing I want to kind of briefly look at. The second is actually our relationship with God. And how do we go about walking with God? When you walk with people, don't know if it's the same with you, but I find that quite often when I'm walking with people, we quite often chew the fat about what's going on in our lives, putting the world right. Sometimes it's about how bad my golf swing is, sometimes about what's happening in football, how poor Scotland rugby is, but sometimes it's about more important things, more personal things. And it's having that time you spend with people to walk that up. In our home group, we quite often talk about passages of scripture and words and phrases in the Bible that wasn't there the previous time you looked at that verse. And we blame my wife for putting that into my Bible because it wasn't there before, and it is now, and it's always Helen's fault that this word, this phrase, has miraculously appeared in my Bible that wasn't there before. And one of those passages we'll look at, I've looked at recently, is in Genesis 3. So it's the Garden of Eden, we're familiar with the story. And we've got this phrase, then the man and his wife heard the sound of the Lord as he walked in the garden by the cool of the day, and they hid from the Lord among the trees and garden. And that's maybe hidden a little bit about the garden story, about the God just turning up, as he did, it seems regularly, of an evening, to walk in the garden and spend time with Adam and Eve. I think that's a marvellous picture about everyday life with God just being there, walking by our side, being there as we need him. This is a book by Chris Candea. And talking about God is stranger, looking at how there's quite actually a challenging passage in the Bible and how God can be stranger and maybe weirder than sometimes we think he is. But he talks about this occurrence with Adam and Eve in the Bible being there. The first humans began by being utterly aware of God. Adam and Eve get to see God visibly and with predictable regularity, it seems, as they walk with him in the perfect garden in the cool of the day. The designer world they lived in was perfect, in sync with both human aspiration and divine purpose. A world with God present, and all they knew and was friendship with God came naturally to them. Our ancient ancestors began their existence untroubled by the incomprehensible of God, as we might struggle with, and he made himself accessible and joined and available to enjoy human interaction. Every day they got to spend that time with God, walking in the cool of the evening. Is that sometimes our focus about wanting to spend time with God, walking with him, understanding what he's going to be doing? The other passage that talks briefly about walking with God is Micah 6, verse 8. It talks about what God wants from us, to act justly, to love mercy, and to walk with him. Are you willing to spend time with God? Spend time with God. Walk by his side. If you're walking with somebody, you're going where they are going. You might have decided that adventure together, we'll go up to the RSPB, or we'll walk around the Green Wheel. But you're doing that together, side by side. You're not walking if you're going in opposite directions. You're not spending time with each other. It's interesting, the altar talks about walking humbly with God, letting him lead, following him. Ah, but God, I want to do this. Ah, well, this is better for me, God. Thank you very much. So as we approach 2026, what is your focus going to be? Do you feel that you've got abundant life? When Jesus was telling that story in the parable in John 10, what he's talking about there is the sheep, his followers, that they may have abundant life. Do you have that abundant life? Do you know what it is? Do we come to worship out of habit or because God is worthy and you made the choice to come and to praise him? Are you going to choose to spend time with him? Go out your way, as you would with a friend, to go and walk with him. Understand what he wants and let him lead. Also, it's, and the sheep, it's not a solo event. So what are you going to do to spend time with others, understanding the way God wants to lead you, whether that's in small groups or discipleship? This might reflect a change in some of your priorities to refocus what God wants you to do. But the challenge I have is actually, do I feel that I've got abundant life? Or is that God wants more for my life than I have at the moment? Heavenly Father, we just thank you that you do love us, that you came to give us life, Heavenly Father. Help us to seek that life, to have that life abundantly more with you. Lord, we ask to put your Spirit upon us, to anoint us, and to fill your presence, Heavenly Father. We just lift up and praise your name this morning. Amen. We're going to finish this morning with a good old Christmas carol, Joy to the World. This reflects a little bit of what we're saying this morning. Do stand if you're able to.
Joy to the world, the Savior brings.
Do join us at the back for tea and coffee. And if you would like some prayer, there will be a prayer team down here in the front. Now, to him who is able to keep you from falling and to present you before his glorious presence without fault and with great joy, to the only God, our Saviour, be glory, majesty, power and authority through Jesus Christ our Lord, before all ages, now and forevermore. Amen. Amen.